Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
We are called to be a people that demonstrate wisdom, that rely upon God for all things, that trust Him and manifest our dependence upon Him in every situation, and realize many times God will allow us to be in a difficult predicament. Why? So that we will return to Him, that we will seek Him, that we will seek His truth through His word and, as we said earlier, through other counsel. Turning to others who fear God, who God is the priority of their life, and listen to them and bring before them a desire for discernment, for discerning God's will in a given situation. When we do that, God is willing to respond. Well, take out your Bible and look again to that portion in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 11. And we need to understand that we're called to be individuals that demonstrate integrity, that manifest God's power and God's truth. And those two things are inherently related. It is only when we are submissive to the truth of God that we are going to have access to the power of God. So let's begin. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, where it says, balances of deceit, or we could understand this as scales. Now we know, and this is still true in some circles, but many times, especially in the ancient days, you purchased something and you paid based upon the weight of what you were purchasing. We still have that today. Most Friday mornings, I go to a place and I purchase food, and I pay based upon what type of food I'm purchasing and how much that food weighs. And every different type of food has a different price attached to it. But the key thing here is you pay by weight. And therefore, we want to have accurate scales, accurate balances. And that's why we read in verse 1, scales of deceit, what are they? An abomination of the Lord. When individuals deceive others, cheat, and this is what we're talking about, and steal money from others by means of scales that are not accurate, that are not true. And that's why we see in the second half of this verse where it says, and a stone. Now I realize that many Bibles will say weight, but it's not weight. It is a stone. Now obviously the purpose of that stone, and there were stones of different sizes and different sizes related to different weights. So they would put on these scales stones to measure what is the weight of what is being purchased. And therefore, what did God want? He does not want us to commit an abomination through scales of deceit, but He wants a stone. And then we have the word shlema. Now, that word shlema comes from the word shalom. And the word shalom has to do with that which is complete or whole or in its entirety. And therefore, the stone should fulfill completely what it says it weighs. So if we have a stone of five grams, it should be 5 grams, fulfill every aspect of it, not to be less or not to be more, exceeding. It wants to be perfect. And we find that the word shalom, and I've said this many times, the word shalom represents fulfillment, specifically the fulfillment of God's will. So here, the stone should fulfill the weight that it is ascribed to. And it says, when it does, it is, most Bibles will say, it is his delight, meaning the Lord's delight. Now, I would disagree with that. But we also have to see that this word for delight, it's a word ratzon, in this case, ratzono, his will. So it is his will that a stone is accurate, that it fully represents what it is said to represent. And this tells us something more. When we behave in that way, what can we expect? We can expect that God will move us into his will. Being in the will of God is not a foregone conclusion. It's something that takes the knowledge of the Word of God and a submissiveness to that knowledge, that understanding that comes from his Word. Then we can persevere and find ourselves in God's will. Why? So that we can complete God's will, and that is shalom, the fulfillment of the will of God, and there's many benefits from that. So this is what this scripture is saying. Move on to verse 2. Now, verse 2 has a word that unfortunately is frequently mistranslated. It's the word zadon. Zadon speaks about an individual who willfully, with intent, violates the word of God. It's not someone, and we're all guilty at times, of doing something that we ought not, or saying something that we shouldn't. Sometimes a person will say something because they're going through a difficult time, they're frustrated, they need to kind of release that, and they take it out incorrectly, ungodly, on someone else. We've all said things that we shouldn't, and many times what we say really doesn't reflect our true feelings. It's anger, frustration, our problems that are speaking, and because we're unhappy about those problems, we lash out at someone else. Well, this is not what we're talking about. This word zadon speaks about someone who does something, he knows it's wrong, and he intentionally does it anyway. So the word proud is not the best way to translate this. Look at verse 2. A willful, rebellious individual comes, and it says, and shame will come. So when someone acts willfully against the truth in a rebellious way, and again, the key here is with intent. He wants to violate what he knows is right. When someone does that, what is going to also be brought? The answer is shame. So when we willfully disobey God, it is going to produce shame. But notice the last part of the verse, verse 2, where it says, but with humility, or with humble ones, is what? Wisdom. So you have a choice. If you are humble and realize there is a connection, an inherent relationship between humility and the will of God, serving God. Now, why do I say that? Well, Moses is called the servant of the Lord. So many times he is called by that title, the servant of the Lord. And we also see that Moses was the most humble of individuals. So when we are humble, it is going to bring about in us the ability to do God's will. And what's the outcome of that? Well, what does he say? Wisdom. So God is going to grant us wisdom, understanding, that discernment in order to do what the will of God demands. Move on to verse 3. Here we have the word integrity. And I'm not arguing that word does not relate to integrity. It does. But it's important that we understand the base meaning of that word, because the base meaning of that word is to depend, to rely, to trust in God. Why? Well, that word for integrity relates to someone who understands his inadequacy, that he is insufficient, that he does not contain and possess what's necessary to accomplish the will of God. So what does this one do? He relies upon God. He trusts God. He depends upon God. And that enables him to demonstrate integrity for the word of God and the character of God. So look at verse 3. The integrity of the upright ones. Now, this word for upright is a word straight, and it's in the plural. So those who want to walk straightly in the paths of God, these are the upright. And it says the integrity of upright ones will lead them. We will be led by God when we are walking in dependence and integrity upon God. But then we have the word tselef, which is to twist or distort. Those who twist and distort, what are they? They're called bogdim. What's bogdim? Traitors. Those who are betraying, those who are not faithful, those who don't exhibit any trustworthy qualities. So those who are traitors, they are going to twist. And notice the outcome for them. They are going to, and this next word, most Bible will say, will destroy them. But I want us to see that the nuance of this word, I'm not arguing that maybe destruction's the outcome, the results, but if we look at this word, it's the same word where we get the term shoded. What's shoded? A robber. Shodeyam are pirates, those who come and take away. And what he's saying is this, when we twist and we betray others and betray the word of God, act in a way that displays a infidelity, what's going to be the outcome? Well, what does he say here? Look at the end of verse 3. We are going to suffer things being taken away. We are going to suffer a loss. So what he's saying is those who betray God, those who are not loyal, they who twist the things of God, they are going to suffer a loss. That's what they're going to experience. There will be those that take things away from them, steal things away from them. Verse 4. Lo yo'il, not profitable. What's not profitable? We have that word. We talked about it not too long ago, the word hon. The word hon represents possessions. It's in modern Hebrew, it's used to talk about a portfolio or what is in a portfolio. A portfolio is an accounting of assets, those things that contribute to wealth. And what he says in this verse, look at verse 4, not profitable is the wealth in the day of wrath, but righteousness saves from death. Now, do you see the contrary? You can be very wealthy, have a large portfolio. But that wealth is not going to save you in the day of God's wrath. But righteousness, and righteousness is the outcome of salvation, the outcome of being reconciled to God through faith, through that gospel. So he says here, but righteousness will deliver, will rescue, will save from death. Move on to verse 5. Again, we're going to deal with that concept of righteousness. The righteousness of the ones who are blameless, the ones who have integrity. He says here, the righteousness of those who have integrity, what will do? It will make straight his way. So when I have integrity, that means I rely upon God, I trust in God, I take hold of his truth and apply it to my life. That is going to produce righteousness. And that righteous behavior is going to what? It is going to, notice what he says, it is going to make straight his way, the way of those who are full of integrity. But it says here, in the unrighteousness or the wickedness of the wicked, he will fall. So those who utilize that which is wicked, that which is evil, that which is against the character of God, in the wicked's wickedness, that one will fall. And this means fall away from the things of God, fall away from the blessings of God, fall away from where he wants to be. It is going to have a negative influence in his life. Move now to verse 6. Again, righteousness. The righteousness of upright ones will save them. But we have a word. And this word, I spent a lot of time researching it. And it basically means two things. It can mean mischief. It can relate to improper behavior, those things that are contrary, or that word can relate to simply a evil desire, a lust, so to speak, a desire, a covetousness for the things that do not belong to God, that belong to this world. So look again. The righteousness of upright ones, those who want to go straight with God, will save them. But the lust or the mischief of, again, those who are betrayers, those who are not loyal, those who are disloyal or do not express fidelity, but rather infidelity to the things of God, what will happen to them? They will be taken or captured. So what we find here is this dichotomy. When we walk in integrity, expressing righteousness, there's going to be wonderful benefits for that. There is going to be God stepping in for those who have integrity for righteous behavior. God's going to deliver them, save them, rescue them. But for those who are betrayers of the things of God, those who do not express loyalty in regard to the instructions of God, what's going to happen? They're going to be captured. They are going to find themselves, and this word for being captured finds themselves in bondage. Verse 7. With the death of a wicked man will perish hope. Those things, he had wickedness, and in his death, he is not going to be able to fulfill what he had hoped to, what he had desired to. So again, verse 7, and the death of a wicked man, hope will perish. But, he says, the hope, and it's a different word for hope, but means the same thing. Of who? Well, we have a word here. We have a word which means those who are not trustworthy, those who are individuals that simply do not reflect the character of God. And it says as well, their hope will also, same word, perish. They are not going to have a fulfillment of what they desire. And some will say these that are disloyal, these that are not exemplifying the characteristics of God, his character. Well, this word in other translations, and I understand why they translate it this way, it can relate to those who are strong. So even those who are strong and mighty in this world, their hope will perish. Why? Because they are not people of integrity. They do not rely upon God, and they do not trust in his word and his counsel. Move on to verse 8. Again, a righteous one, from trouble, he will be released. Now, this word for being released or delivered, however your Bible translates it, it's a word that first and foremost means to be in a stressful and an oppressive situation. So someone who is in that, he is going to find deliverance. He's going to be released from that and from that trouble. But it says, wickedness will come in its place. For those who are wicked, instead of experiencing deliverance from trouble, we find that wicked, for those who are wicked, it is going to come, trouble, that wickedness is going to come in its place. So we see, a difference. Those who are righteous, they are going to experience the benefits of a righteous God. Those who are not, they are going to experience the outcome of wickedness, which is trouble, coming instead of deliverance. Look now to verse 9. In the mouth of, and this word probably speaks of a hypocrite. If you do a good study of it, it's a word that speaks about someone who flatters, someone who says, oh, such nice things about someone, but they don't mean it. They are deceivers. They are deceptive. They are hypocrites. They say one thing, but inside they believe something very different. And the only reason that they're speaking these words of flattery is to control someone, deceive one, and get them to do what they want. So notice what he says. In the mouth of a flatterer or a hypocrite will come corruption, the corruption of his neighbor. So he says, oh, a lot of nice things, but he's insincere. He's a hypocrite, and he's saying this in order to bring corruption upon his neighbor. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's a characteristic of the Torah, but this is the exact opposite of that. But then it says, but in the knowledge of righteous one, again, there will be deliverance. They will be delivered. Now, I want you to see this for what the scripture is literally saying. When we are a hypocrite, meaning this, oh, we say that we belong to God, but we don't do the things that God commands. There is a falseness about our covenantal relationship with God. We proclaim it, but we really don't have it. And what happens? Well, that one who speaks flattery, speaks in hypocrisy, he is going to bring corruption on his neighbor. That's not what we should do. But the righteous one, notice what it says at the end of this verse. But righteous ones with knowledge, what will they do? They will deliver. They will express that which helps, which releases. And by the way, when we look at this word, the last word in verse 9, it's that same word that we encountered earlier for being release from being in a stressful and oppressive situation. That's what we're called to do. Righteous people assist others. We don't bring corruption upon our neighbor, but we bring deliverance. We, through righteousness, have the anointing to bring about a degree of deliverance, help rescuing those who are our neighbors. Look at verse 10. In the goodness of righteous ones, a city will rejoice. But with the wicked ones, their exaltation will perish. Now, what it means here, it could be the city itself, but with righteousness, notice what it says, verse 10, in the goodness, and goodness relates to, it's a word good, the will of God. In the will of righteous ones, the city rejoices. But it says here, wicked ones will perish their joy, what they want. Now, I believe this is talking about ultimately God's judgment. God's judgment is going to bring upon a city of righteous ones, joy. But for those that are full of wickedness, we're going to find that their shouts of joy are going to come to an abrupt end. Look now to verse 11. With the blessing of the upright ones, it says, the city will be exalted. So those who behave righteously, they are going to be a blessing and an exalting of a city. But it says here, but in the mouth of wicked ones, it will be destroyed, or the word here is haris, brought to ruins. So righteousness is going to exalt a city, but wickedness is going to bring about that city becoming in ruins. That's the simple message of the text. Look now to verse 12. We have the word baz. Baz is contempt, and it's rooted in a disdain. So it says the contempt for his neighbor is what? An absence of heart. Now, an absence of heart or lacking heart means he's not thinking thoroughly about a situation. What situation? What God commands. God gives commandments for particular situations. When we find ourselves in this situation, we have a commandment. We keep that commandment, we do that commandment, and it brings about a good, a righteous outcome. But here, the one who has disdain for his neighbor is the one that lacks heart. He lacks thinking. He's not giving consideration to the instructions of God. But then it says, a man with understanding, and this word for understanding is in the plural, with abundant understanding, what will he be? He will be silent. Meaning what? That we learn at times it's best to say nothing, to be silent, not to speak. We don't have to always speak. Being silent has sometimes great wisdom. Now, I'll give you an example of this. One of my favorite books is the book of Eov, that is Job. And remember, Job was going through some difficult circumstances. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. They lost as well everything. And then he found himself being plagued with these terrible boils, these sores that were so, so very painful. And what happens? Well, his friends come to him and they began well. They sat with him and they were silent. And that was a blessing. They were there simply to share in his suffering, not saying anything. And when they began to speak, well, that's when things turned in a very, very unfortunate way. So as we look at this scripture, sometimes a man of wisdom will just be silent. Verse 13. We have a word for gossip, a word of speaking. And I believe most Bibles will say a tell-teller, a tale-bearer, someone that just repeats things, a gossip, in other words, goes forth and he releases or reveals, that's a better word, reveals a secret. But a faithful in spirit, one who is faithful to the Spirit, and the implication is Spirit of God, he covers up a matter. He doesn't, as we saw in the previous verse, doesn't speak. He covers up. He doesn't want it to be out in public knowledge. Some things, and it's righteous just to conceal something. Someone does something that is bad. Well, why go out and gossip about it? That person may feel horrible about it, may acknowledge it's wrong. Therefore, what it says here is a person who is faithful in spirit, he will cover up this matter. He will not speak of it. Now we go back to the verse that we mentioned in our call to worship, where it says, without counsel. And here again, counsel is in the plural, so abundant counsel, a people will fall. But salvation, tshua, salvation, and the implication is found, experience, in the abundance of counsel. And again, want to just repeat myself briefly, and that is counsel through prayer and counsel through others who are also fearing God and committed to the purposes of God, the priorities of God. That's whose counsel that you'll want to receive and will be a blessing in your life and will give you discernment. Well, let's look at our last verse and then we'll be done. Look at verse 15. Now we have, and I want to read this in Hebrew, so you hear it. Ra Yeroah. Now, that's derived from the same word, ra. I've talked about this word many times. It relates to that which is against the will of God. So one who is doing that which is evil, that which is against God's word. And it says here, that one who is evil, and that he pledges surety for a stranger. Now, it can mean a foreigner or someone who is strange, meaning I don't know that person well. He's a stranger to me. Or this word can relate to an idol worshiper. All this is found in this word, zar. So it says here, basically, it will be utterly evil. It is wrong. It is not God's will. It's against God's will that you pledge surety for one that you don't know, a strange one or a idol worshiper. And when it says strange, I simply mean unfamiliar to you, a stranger. And it says, though, the one who hates, and then we have a word. And this is a word, it means, in one sense, it can mean being stuck in something or being involved. That word can literally mean being inserted into a situation. Now, sometimes we insert ourselves into a situation to help, to bless, to clarify something and maybe provide counsel. This is not what you should be doing. This is the wrong thing. So at times we are to insert ourselves into a situation. But here we're talking about something specific. When we have in verse 15 this word, arav. Arav means to be mixed up in. And specifically, take responsibility for another's debt. To sign, to co-sign. Now, here again, pledging surety is not something that's wise to do. The Bible has spoken and we've encountered verses that tell us, don't do this. Why? Especially if you obligate yourself beyond what you're able to handle. Now, sometimes, if we look at Jewish law, doesn't mean it's right, but we can find sometime an interesting perspective. You know, don't be surety for someone. Why not? Because you might find yourself being obligated by another, and you can't stand in that debt, that obligation. And therefore, you bring shame and a bad name upon yourself. So that's why we're counseled by the Word of God and by Proverbs, as we are seeing now, not to pledge surety for another. But Jewish law says, however, if you can take and set aside that obligation, that debt. So if I'm surety for $1,000 and I have the means to take $1,000 and set it aside and put it there just in case he can't stand in that debt and I'm obligated, then it may be permissible. Doesn't mean it's the right thing, but it may be permissible to be surety in that situation. But never should one obligate himself to another for a debt that you yourself are not able to stand, that you can't pay. So that's why it says here, look at the text last time, ra yeroa, it will be evil, meaning evil brings about suffering. The one who is surety for a foreigner or an idol worshiper for a stranger, it would be evil, meaning he's going to experience evil. But the one who hates inserting himself in the affairs of another, that's the implication. That is going to be what? There's going to be safety. So we don't get involved in the life of other people just for the sake of meddling in people's life or getting involved because we like being involved in all types of things. This goes back to the gossip, just speaking everything, wanting to know everything about someone else. This is not the character of a servant of God. So we want to actually hate, meaning understand there's little value. The word hate can mean to think little of. There's little value and just inserting ourselves in this situation and that situation and that. No, if we insert ourselves in a situation, it's to bring God's truth, the righteousness of God, to execute justice, to counsel someone in regard to what is the will of God. But to get involved in a situation and take upon ourselves a debt, especially a debt that is beyond our means to pay and for someone that we really don't know well, this is foolishness. It is not good, and it's going to bring suffering and evil outcome into your life. Well, we'll close with that until next week when we continue on in the book of Proverbs, and specifically when we complete, God willing, this 11th chapter. Until then, may God bless you. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.